We're on the fourth part of a series where we've been talking about Lazarus, where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And this is part four, The Miracle Unfolds. And a subtitle, excuse me, my voice is still changing. A subtitle is The Anatomy of a Miracle. As we take a look at the bits and pieces, parts, we have been strengthened and encouraged in our faith as we walked with him and taken a good long look at what this miracle means in our lives. You can find the messages at gracechristiancenter.us. Now, 2 weeks ago, we saw how Jesus ministered to Martha and then to Mary beyond natural expectations. He takes us as his disciples, who sometimes can get focused on the what of our circumstances, to what? To who? Jesus being in control. And he takes us from, you bet God can do that, to God will do that. And we learn to trust in the report of the Lord. How many believe the report of the Lord this morning? I believe God can pour out his spirit and will. I believe God and his report means revival is coming. I believe this region can be saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. I believe God can do anything and move by his Holy Spirit. How many can say amen with me this morning? Death, the devil, do not have the final word. God does. Now, we understand, and we've spoken about, there's appointed unto men once to die. We know that. None of us are getting out of here alive. But we will transition and see Jesus face to face when you've given your life to Jesus. If you haven't, I urge you, let this be the day you give your life to Jesus. He loves you. He came for you. He died, was buried, and rose again for you. And he ever lives, the Bible says, to make intercession for his saints. Let this be the day you surrender to him. Let us believe the report of the Lord. By the way, how many have been to Israel? All right, a few of you. There is Lazarus's tomb marked there. Now, in Israel, you have to be aware there's pretty much three stages when you take a look at things. There's that which is a definite place described in the Bible. There's that which is probable, and there's that which is like what might have been in the Bible. And so we don't know if this was Lazarus's tomb or not, and maybe it is exactly the tomb where Lazarus was laid. But the point is, Lazarus didn't stay in there very long. Amen? All right, let's go to the scripture, John chapter 11. If you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of John, that will be our text this morning as we go through the Word. If you have your tablet, if you have your phone, go to John chapter 11. If you need a Bible, just simply slip up your hand and there'll be others who can get you one from the back table. And we're very happy to have you see it in a Bible you have right in front of you. We'll also have them up here. John 11 verses 39 through 40, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." You remember the scriptures where Lazarus has been dead. And Jesus says, "Take away the stone." Jesus is grieved for Martha and Mary. And there's the crowd of well-wishers, consolers who have come from Jerusalem, only 2 miles away from this place in what is named Bethany or Bethania. And Jesus says, "Take away the stone." And she says to him, "Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead 4 days." Please read it with me, verse 40. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Let's talk about how Jesus sets you free. Jesus sets you free. Mary's afraid. The stench is bad. Natural life and living have taken their course. There's a stench that comes with death. The Bible tells us that Jesus groaned within himself. And in the Greek, that literal word means he snorted in anger. Was he angry at the people? No, he wasn't angry at the people. But I believe with all my heart, he was very angry at the devil and the spirit of death. And Jesus came to deal with all of that. The Bible says the devil is a liar, a deceiver, a murderer from the beginning, and he's a thief. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? You understand that? So how many think the devil has anything good in mind for you here in this place this morning? Not a bit. How many know Jesus has everything good in mind for you?
Amen.
Amen. He's a murderer from the beginning, John 8, verse 44. But Jesus comes along and he tells Mary and Martha, he says what? I am the resurrection and the life. And Martha's first response, and even Mary's response is, Lord, I know you can raise my brother up. I know you can do that. I know you can. And Jesus is saying, hang on, I will. Just watch what I do. If you'll believe, just watch me. Jesus is saying, lift your vision higher, church. We are bound by our circumstances. Circumstances that can create fear. Now, I wish there was an absolute miracle every time we spoke the name of Jesus over somebody. Sometimes healing takes place supernaturally, just like it did for you, Andrea. Others in this room have been supernaturally healed. Others are healed over a length of time. Others find a place in doctor's care. But how many understand that's not a conflict with the scriptures? But nothing works unless God is good enough to allow that medication to work. It doesn't work unless God allows it to work because he's the healer. Sin and the devil can keep you bound. You don't have to remain bound. You don't have to remain locked away behind a stone of protection, because sometimes that's where we hide if we're in sin. Come on. Can you agree with me that, like me, I'll just use me as an example. Once back in 1942, I sinned, okay? And sometimes, if you don't want to deal with it right away, you roll a stone over the cave and you tuck it away. And you hope that nobody sees. And nobody can see. They just know, I'll say this nicely, they just know that when they're around you and your heart's not quite right with God, you stink a little. Where'd that walk with Jesus go? How are you doing? Lord, there's a stench. And so we find our place in prayer, and we go to our knees if somebody's heart's getting hard before the Lord, and you pray that they're able to roll that stone away, because Jesus can do it, and he can bring you out of that bound up place and set you free. Jesus wants to set you free. Someone say amen.
Amen.
He is able. He brings life. The devil takes you and gives you death, and Jesus gives you life. If you've surrendered to the Lord, by the way, the grave can't keep you. You know that. Come on, the grave can't keep you. If you belong to Jesus, if you die in this life, you're going straight into the presence of Jesus. That is great news. Amen?
Amen.
That's great news. Death has no sting because of what Jesus has done. The body may decay till he raises it up again at the last trump. But your soul lives with him in eternity. Jesus, the lover of your soul, raises you up immediately with him. If you've not, I'm going to say it again. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, you haven't personally surrendered to him, this is your day. He is asking you to come and surrender to him. He loves you. He sees you. He knows you. And he's got life forever to give you. Isn't that good news?
Yes.
Jesus sets you free from fear, from sin. Watch what the Bible says. John 3:16. Please quote it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Wow. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You probably remember what it was like before you gave your life to Jesus. Somehow, no matter how much you try to get away from it and tuck your sins away in the cave, you knew in your own heart of hearts, it's not right. I'm not perfect. Now, if you thought you were perfect, then you had another sin called pride. But Jesus keeps reaching out. He says, come on, I'll set you free. I'll give you life. And so we give our lives to him so we don't have to be condemned anymore. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, Come on, preach it, church. This is your chance. Say it out loud. You shall be free indeed. Isn't that good news? Jesus proves himself again. First, he sets you free. Then he proves himself again. John 11, 41 through 42. The Bible is the best interpreter of the Bible. That's why we love the Word of God. And we take a look at what he says. They took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who were standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Look at this. He moves forward in ministry. Do you think the death process for Lazarus scared him? Did it make him stay away? How many think that your sin makes Jesus not want to look at you ever again and stay away from you? No, he won't look on sin. God won't look on sin. But Jesus came to heal you and bring you out. And so Jesus moves toward you. Come on, I'm telling you this morning, the good news is Jesus is moving toward you right now. And somebody might say, well, I'm not in sin this morning. Praise God. Good for you. You can come up and finish the message. No, but the point is, it doesn't mean you just have to be in sin. But you need to know, as a believer, if you've surrendered your life to the Lord, Jesus is moving toward you right now. I want you to see it in your mind's eye. And if you don't leave with anything else here today, I want you to understand that by his grace, say it with me, Jesus is moving toward you right now. Say it with me, Jesus is moving toward me right now. Sometimes we think he stays away, or he's hard to get to, or I'm just not perfect yet. Well, welcome to the body of Christ. You know, Bob Mufford, how many remember the name Bob Mufford? What a great teacher, great guy. And there were a few problems in Fort Lauderdale, but when you look at what he says, he said, I can't remember what he said. That's a senior moment. No, he said, if you're looking for the perfect church, if you're looking for the perfect church, as soon as you get there, it's no longer perfect. Ouch. Jesus doesn't come to you because you're perfect. Jesus doesn't care for you because you're perfect. For God so loved you that he gave Jesus for you and for me. He moves toward you into ministry. He proved his love for you at Calvary, and he's doing it every single day. Number two, Jesus prays to the Father. Jesus prays to the Father so we can hear it. We hear his prayer at Gethsemane in the scripture. We hear his prayer for unity for his disciples. We hear his prayer as he teaches us to pray. He prays out loud so we can hear how to pray. And he says, if you want to know how to pray, it goes like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread as we forgive. And we have this great church divide. As we forgive our trespasses. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Others might say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now we've got that solved. He prays to the Father. He teaches us how to pray. He forgives us. He has mercy on us. He moves towards us. And he does a living example, praying out loud. And here's what he says. I'm only doing this so they understand that you hear me. When you are in right relationship with the Lord, what does he want you to know? You're praying his prayers, and he wants you to know the Father hears you. God hears your prayers this morning. Well, Pastor Kev, I've been praying about this for a long time. Maybe my child or my grandchild, or maybe I'm not feeling the way I should, and my prayers don't seem to get above the ceiling. But if you're in right relationship with Jesus through his blood, you need to understand the Father hears you. He loves you. He cares. He is moving toward you this morning. And maybe we don't see an instantaneous answer to prayer, but it doesn't mean he's not hearing you. He loves you. He cares. He told us prophetically this morning. He cares. 1 John 5:14-15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? Hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions we've asked of him. Watch this out of the Passion Version, the Passion Translation. Since we have this confidence, we can also have great boldness before him. For if we present any request agreeable to his will hear us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we also know that we have obtained the requests we ask of him. He moves forward in ministry. He prays to the Father, and the Father hears him, and he wants you to believe him. He wants you and me to believe him this morning. Because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. In Jude, verses 20 and 21, it says, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." He wants you built up in your holy faith. He wants you to know he hears you, he sees you. He wants you to believe him. Whose report do you believe? Well, the doctors have the final say. No. My landlord has the final say. Nope. The bank. Nope. How about God has the final say? People will tell you there's no way out, there's no hope, you don't belong here, God doesn't see you, God doesn't know, God's not real. Phooey, that's all a lie in the name of Jesus. God hears you, God sees you, God knows. And he's extending his hands to help you and me right now. Shift from the what to the who. Believe him. John 11:43-45. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" You know why he said that, don't you? Because if he hadn't, everybody would have come out of the grave. He had to identify who he's calling out right then at that moment. "Lazarus, come forth!" And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Loose him and let him go." And Jesus is saying to you and to me this morning, Father, loose him and loose them and let them go freely before the Lord. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. "Lazarus, come forth!" And he does what the world cannot do for you. He does for you and me what nobody else can do. He sees you, hears you, knows you, and says, "I know exactly how and when to answer." Yep. Come on. Yep. I'm calling forth your faith. Right out in the open. We want to see miracles. And we want to stir up our most holy faith. We don't worship miracles because we look beyond them to see Jesus who does the miracles. But this Jesus healed a man when his friends let him down through a roof. This Jesus fed thousands by a little boy's lunch. This Jesus raised a young man being carried to his own funeral. This Jesus healed a man's blind eyes. This Jesus healed a man who'd been laying by a pool for 38 years who couldn't get into the waters in time. This Jesus healed a woman with an issue of blood. This Jesus opened blind eyes. This Jesus opened deaf ears. This Jesus saves you from your sin. This Jesus loves you, sees you, knows you, and cares for you and me. Someone say hallelujah, he's great. Jesus is alive and well. For you and me right now, this Jesus. And right now in the name of Jesus, we speak faith and we speak healing and we speak deliverance. Demons come out in the name of Jesus and set God's people free. We speak the name Jesus because we love him. Body, be healed in Jesus' name. Hey, I've had times I'm going down the street and you have attacking thoughts that the devil wants to throw at you. And I don't care what people think. They might want to put me away. But I've laid hands on my own head and I say, I curse that in the name of Jesus. I have the mind of Christ. Amen. We stand in faith, holding up the shield of faith, and we encourage each other. Believe God. His report. Mind be restored now. Body be restored now. Heart be free now in Jesus. Believe Him. Do you believe the Lord this morning?
Yes.
Multitudes were met. I want to tell you, this miracle not only was absolutely stunning, this miracle changed the entire course of history. This miracle changed all of Jesus' ministry right here. Right here when Lazarus came out of the grave. He had raised people before. This one was a man who had been dead for 4 days. And he clearly demonstrates he is the Messiah who takes people in a body that decays and he knows how to bring healing, life, and resurrection. But not everybody was glad. Are you glad that God is alive and well?
Yes.
Not everybody was glad. John 11 said, but some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. This miracle, more than any other, created real conflict because some of them had their comfort level messed up by Jesus being active and alive today. Come on. Some people aren't always delighted by the miracle testimonies. I can't understand why. But some people aren't delighted. What do you mean Jesus is alive and well? Well, what do you mean about that? What's up with that? Are you crazy? Well, if the world wants to say it, that's fine. But, you know, what is it? Paul said, if I'm mad, I'm mad unto God. Because they accused him of being crazy enough to believe God. Church, are you sane enough to believe Jesus?
Yes.
I'm going to believe his report. They plotted against Jesus seriously now, seriously. In just days, Jesus would go to the cross. Because they were jealous of him and he messed up their comfort zone. But now, because Lazarus is alive, this testimony begins to bring people to Jesus and to salvation in him because they see Lazarus alive and they can't argue with it. Now, those who don't like Jesus really want to kill him, and they don't just want to kill Jesus, they want to kill Lazarus too. Jesus does what Jesus can do. And he can do anything. I said he can do anything.
Amen.
Will you let Jesus come in and rock your world with his presence and his power? Let's talk about the end of Jesus' public ministry for a moment. This is the end of his public ministry. But you see in your Bible, we're only halfway through the Gospel of John. Pay close attention to this. His public ministry began when John the Baptist marked him out as the Lamb of God, and it concluded publicly when he raised Lazarus from the dead until publicly he was on the cross of Christ. John spends almost as much time on the last 48 hours before Jesus' death as he did on the first 32 years, 11 months, 3 weeks, and 5 days of his life. This is a pattern that's shared by all the gospel writers. They place the emphasis on the last 8 days. There are 89 chapters in 4 gospels. 4 of these chapters cover the first 30 years of the life of Jesus, and 85 chapters, the last 3 years of his life. Of those 85 chapters, 27 deal with the final 8 days of his life. About a third of the gospel records deal with the last few days and place the emphasis on the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I said on the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul, as a broken-hearted man who had done wrong before the Lord, humbled himself, and then he would declare, I come to you knowing nothing, preaching nothing, but Christ and him crucified. The message that changes your life and mine, the message that brings resurrection, hope, and life, the message that brings healing and power and restoration and grace is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Someone say, thank God.
Thank God.
Whose report do you believe?
Yeah.
Jesus is here to do his miracles and bring his presence to you and to me. Now, my prayer is that you will have been strengthened not only in today's message, but in these other messages on the resurrection of Lazarus, and that your heart will be quickened in faith, knowing that Jesus can supernaturally move on my behalf. Do you believe him? Will you stand with me then? Stand, church.